was all this?
Across the street, across the intersection, whatever you want to call it.
This was about what time?
Near evening.
Sorry, say again?
Near evening.
So almost twilight sort of thing?
No, still daylight, but about to go down.
And so you saw, how many police were there?
Shit, about five. 3 to 5.
And they had their guns drawn, what, against an individual with a knife?
I don't know, but he was bloody.
And I guess you heard the story that this was a man who killed a heroin dealer because of an incident that happened last night, a man who overdosed near the Del Mar?
Nah, not anything like that. From someone last night, I heard that their friend had died like about an hour beforehand. I'm assuming the guy who was stabbing people today was, you know, another friend of the guy who died last night. I'm trying to put the stories of two different people together and make it one person. I don't know if it's the same guy. I'm assuming the stabber is stabbing a heroin dealer, you know, in retaliation for his friend's death.
Good. You're kind of, you're speculating a lot, but what you did see was you saw cops and a bloody gun.
Yeah, I am, and yeah.
And what happened when the police were there and the guy was
there? They told him to get down on the ground. They had like about 3 cops with guns pointed at him. You know, shit. Then he's all telling people, smoke your herb if you want to, but you won't be dealing drugs, man. My friend died. You know, and stuff like that.
And did you see a dead person there, or a person who had been injured?
Nah, the only dead body I've seen was February 6th, this year in Portland.
What was that about?
The homelessness marathon, the guy named Rolly Page died right in front of the KBOO radio station in Portland. It wasn't even over. It was the last hour of the homelessness marathon, but, you know, it's like he died.
What did he die of doing it?
Homelessness caused by alcoholism, I guess. No, wait. Alcoholism caused by homelessness. That's how I described it at the time. I'm trying to do Shaktiball with both my thumbs to his forehead at the same time, so I don't know if I'm dead or I have a soul. But, you know, I hope he doesn't possess me.
Thank you very much.
Pray for me. Thanks.
Thank you, and good luck with the Rolling Stones.
You too. Thanks. Hopefully I'll see you again. Yeah, thank you.
We're talking to a guy who's been clowning around for a while. Your name, sir?
Silly Willie.
And Silly Willie, you're making balloon figures here, again, in front of the Pacific Trading Company, and you say across the street there was some excitement some hours ago?
Well, evidently some guy tried to stab someone over here by the New Leaf area here, the pot dealer area, I guess. And I guess the guy went running, and all of them chased the guy down the street. Like, literally, like, all the hippie kids were chasing this one guy. And I guess the one guy ran away, but there was another guy that had pulled the knife. And he was standing over here somewhere on the other corner. And the cops came and kind of overdid the force, you know, too much force.
Overkill?
Yeah, like 5 cop cars, one guy, but they had the guns drawn right on them.
Did you see that?
Yes, directly across the corner right there. Yeah, they had the whole street blocked off for a good hour.
Did you advise them that there were children present?
No, I didn't. You couldn't even hear anything. It was just real loud, just real... But the guy did fight them, you know what I mean? You don't fight the cops, and he fought them a little bit. They wrestled them, you know. And basically, just carted them away, but... Been a lot of that, a little too much of that stuff around here. That's getting a little too, like Los Angeles, California, you know.
Deep, dark, urban area.
Yeah, well, spare change anymore. I spare change for Kevlar. So I'm basically working on it.
How's the business here with the balloons?
Not too bad. It's a
Saturday night. Looks like 90% of the population is under 22.
Yeah, this isn't my crowd. I'm ready to get out of here. My crowd's like under 7 years old, you know, and tends to cry and whimper once in a while.
There you go. I don't see too
many. But smiles when handed a balloon.
Definitely.
It's my job. I have a worthy cause in life.
Thank you.
Thankfully submitted, Silly Willie.
Thank you, Silly Willie. You're telling me the scene is getting a bit rougher here, Silly Willie.
Yeah, last night I'd say about 14-year-old kids came up to me, and I had some money in my... made a point of not... mistake of leaving the money in my hat. So it appeared I had more... They saw 20 bucks in my hat. And they said, you better kick us down some money. And they sat there like... I'd say there's 5 of them looking at me, you know, and they're little 14-year-olds. I'm 42 years old. And I'm looking at them, I go, And then he said, you better kick us down some money. I said, how about I kick your ass? That's what I said. And I know, it's funny, they almost seemed shocked. That I was actually gonna stick up for myself and not just hand them my 20 bucks and whimper, you know. And then they kind of started like grumbling, like they're gonna maybe. Then he kind of backed down, you know, sort of like realizing maybe when you were a kid, you know, when I was 14 years old in the 70s, You didn't mess with anybody over 20 or over 30 years old. You just didn't do it. They're bold. They're bold and violent. Like, they have no fear. And the video games, you know, and the Nintendo blow them up, Duke Nukem games, you know. And
how often have you been out here? How many hours? How many nights a week are you out here?
I've been out here almost every night.
Now, this happened late at night.
Late on a Friday. It was a prom night last night, too.
Were they drinking?
I don't know about that. These kids are almost so young, they don't even probably even drink. They're 14. You can picture that, little little leaguers, 13, 14-year-old kids.
Just boys?
Yeah, boys, basically. Yeah.
And has this ever happened to you before down here?
Oh, yeah, many a time. But usually, most of the crowd's a little older. They're a little more, they're getting bolder year after year. I've seen it year after year. It gets worse and more violent. I'm learning some martial arts right now, so I can learn to kind of, you know.
I think you can make them, you know, you tickle them to death. That's one approach, but I don't know how easy that is.
Yeah, a lot of people, I have a new wig. I look like Ronald McDonald. I've been giving them Big Mac and sending them on their way, but other than that,
now you got Big Smack, or gotta be careful what I say.
Kind of losing the subject now. Yeah, it's basically like, what happened last night? It's getting worse year after year. I'm not sure what to think. I don't know. What can we do about it? I don't know.
What can we do? Thank you, Willie.
Appreciate it. Yeah, thanks a lot.
We have some people here who are anonymous, but some of them may have seen an incident that happened. Any comments for Free Radio Santa Cruz?
Yeah, some tweaker guy stabbed our friend, and our friend has kids, and that's really fucked up. And if he goes to jail, which he will, I hope he gets raped in the several times, dude.
Thank you. Well, we're here on the streets with two travelers with some nicely lettered signs, have a nice day, and spare any change for travelers. How's the business, you guys?
Close. It's terrible.
It's not so good tonight. Usually for Saturday night it's pretty good, but not tonight.
I heard there was an incident earlier where someone was stabbed. I guess, could that have contributed to the problem?
It's possible. Actually, it was a friend of a very good friend of mine. I didn't know him personally, but a friend of mine is real close to him. The guy that did the stabbing was chased down and caught. I'm not happy about it. I was jumped about 2 days ago in an alley down here by the Mission. Managed to get away with no damages, but...
Can you tell us about that incident?
I was walking through an alley down by the Elm Street Mission, and I was jumped by about six Mexicans, put up against a fence. Luckily, I had my knife on me, and I managed to walk away, so...
Did they say what they wanted?
They didn't really say much of anything about what they wanted.
Do you think it was robbery, or was this some sort of violent motive?
I think, from what I understand around here, there's a rumor that certain seasons of the year, the Mexicans like to come down and harass the street people, and I think maybe that there's just a phase of that going around, because I've heard of a lot of people getting jumped and killed and injured, and somebody was sold a bad bag of heroin a couple days ago and was found dead in a portage on. So,
say that again.
He was found dead in a portage on of a heroin overdose, and they think it was a bad mixture.
You know the name of the guy who died of the heroin overdose?
Sam. That's all I know. His name was Sam.
And what's your name?
Rob.
How long you been in town?
Right now, about a week. I've been here two other times.
And what's your name?
Don.
So, you two been on the streets tonight for how long?
We spend all day here.
And how much would you say you made sitting here?
$5.
For how many hours work?
About 10 altogether.
50 cents an hour, pretty bad wages.
Yeah, not too good. Some days, I mean, when the tourists are around, yeah, sometimes $60, $60. But not right now, on a Friday or Saturday.
How are the police treating you?
I don't have too many complaints. They haven't been doing much as far as I know. A couple people said they got bugged by them, but me personally, I haven't had a problem. I never have had a problem here. I'm kind of a quiet person, so.
Now, this incident where you were jumped, what time of day was it?
Mm-hmm. It's pretty late, around midnight, 11 or midnight.
And you were heading from where to where?
We were spanging down here by the Catalyst. And I just walked over there to relieve myself, and they didn't like the idea, I guess. I don't know why they jumped out from behind a dumpster, so I don't know what the hell.
And you said these folks were Spanish-speaking?
I believe at least two of them were Mexican.
But some of them were not?
I'm not sure. I didn't catch all the faces. The two faces I saw were Mexican.
What was your reaction when this happened? What'd you do?
First thing I have my knife in my hand. I always do when I go in the back alleys and everything. And as soon as they hit me, they put me up against the fence, and I put my knife around one of their throats, and I said, you know, walk away, let me go, you know, leave me alone. At that point, I guess they figured it wasn't worth one of their friends dying, so they just let go and let me walk away. So,
I was thinking of playing this on Free Radio Santa Cruz. Are you up for that?
That's fine with me.
Even at the risk of being accused of carrying a concealed weapon?
As far as I'm concerned, this weapon is legal in all 50 states. It is with all limitations. So I've had it with me for about 6 years.
How about you? How do you defend yourself?
The same way. I have a knife, too.
How often in the last year have you had to defend yourself with a knife?
Oh, I never have. People don't usually give me much of a problem. Maybe it's because I'm a girl and they usually don't mess with girls too much.
And you?
Probably about two times this year, within the last 365 days, about two times.
Now, do you sleep outside here in Santa Cruz?
Yes, I do.
Any hassles from police or rangers or sheriffs?
I've only been here about a week. I haven't yet. But from what I understand, there is a lot of hassling going on. When I left here about 9 months ago, it was maybe the start of that hassling, because I was here for about 2.5 months without a word, and then I got a citation on September 11th. I got cited for camping on the train back here by the train tracks, and then I left that day. I hitchhiked out of town, and I just came back about a week ago.
Watch out, there may be a warrant out for your arrest.
There is. There's a warrant out for my arrest. I'm just trying to lay low until I can get enough money to pay it off.
Hiding in plain sight here in front of the Dakota.
Well, you know, they don't know my face, they just know my name. So as long, I don't even have a name out here, I'm just a guy.
We're not gonna actually give your name at this time.
That's fine.
Anything you want to ask?
No, not really.
Thanks a lot.
Hey, you have a great day.
Hey, you too.
Some folks, they get to sleep in the nighttime, then the daytime wide awake. Some folks, they work at night, sleep right through the day. Some got to work it all, they get to dream their lives away. I said, sleeper, close your eyes and blow downstream. Sleep, sleeper, don't you know life's just sweet dream, sweet dream. Say, put your worries on the bed, go back to sleeper, sleepyhead. What too much be going on? Get no sleep sometimes. Feels like I'm losing control. I'm losing sleep, that's why. Say, if you wound too tight, you got to make yourself unwind. I said, sleeper, close your eyes and blow down. Don't you know life's just sweet, sweet dreams. If put your worries on bed, go back to sleeper, sleepyhead.
We're actually in the studio here at Free Radio Santa Cruz, and I encourage you to give us a call. It's we've still got another 2 hours left in the show, and lots of interesting tape coming up, but it's even more interesting when you call in and contribute what thoughts you have. 427-3772, 427-FRSC. Give us a call. We're returning now to the Right to Sleep Summit from a week ago, the kind of the introductory evening when things were just starting and hopes were high, and actually hopes were high when things were finishing. And indeed, we have a protest coming up. I actually got this flyer from activist Linda LeMaster at the Green Party meeting yesterday. End the sleeping ban in California. Demand that Governor Davis protect us from the illegal hate crimes committed against us by the cities of California, not to mention assorted vigilante gangs. Join us in Sacramento in July. Middle-class families, bring your children. You don't have to be homeless to protest this injustice. Join the walk from San Diego to Sacramento as it passes near you. Protest at the Capitol until the governor hears our cries. Stop the jailings, the camping tickets, separation of families. Insist that Governor Davis protect us from the unjust laws that stomp all over our U.S. constitutional rights. Be ready to travel to Sacramento at a moment's notice. For more info, contact Housing Now in Santa Cruz, 831-423-4663. That's 423-HOME. Or HUFF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. That's at 423-HUFF. And there's a letter to Governor Davis from Sacramento activist Clifford Crooks, which you can read if you come to the HUFF meeting on Wednesday, when we'll be deciding if we're going to be any kind of sleeping ban summer coming down the pike here in Santa Cruz, which was one of the reasons we brought the summit together, to see what the interest was in that as well as in encampments. So I'll be checking that out. And here's some more from the Right to Sleep Summit last Friday, in case you missed it.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for coming. If you haven't gotten your button yet, go grab it. We've got some snack food over there that's vegetarian and with meat. Tastes good.
It was in Thomas's backyard.
There's some juice boxes.
Thomas and Ganilla Leather.
Snack food.
Did an incredible amount of work.
And dinner is being prepared, and it should be here shortly. So, thank you.
Yeah! You know Thomas!
Hey, what are you doing?
He said dinner is going to be happening soon. He said he would be back with Linda about 7:30. That was at ETA, 7:30. What's going to happen? She's going to have the registration materials.
Okay.
And the other stuff.
You know, I have your tape. I bought your tape from you, like, several years ago, I think.
At the flea market or something, right?
No, actually when you were playing out on the street downtown.
Yeah. Well, I'm still at it.
That's cool. I was, like, listening to you, and I was like, you know, I heard that before.
Where did I hear that?
Oh, wait. How come you have his tape and I don't?
We're talking to Mike Lucarelli, the Camp Paradise photo man, from actually video man, who was covering the scene when Camp Paradise was under sort of 24-hour alert of police harassment down by the riverbank. And you're back here covering this relatively tame event.
Mm. Yeah, I'm looking forward to this. It'll be interesting to hear what other towns have been up to in the last year. Sounds like even tougher than Santa Cruz.
They got some and more successful than Santa Cruz, guys. Camp Paradise did get driven from the riverbank, and though it has survived in a, you know, sort of smaller form out in Aptos.
I was out of town for that Thanksgiving. That was. I wish I'd gotten that on film, or if somebody did. Do you know if anybody did?
Becky may have gotten some video, although I don't know. She's over there.
Or even photos?
So, Earl, you're giving us some bad news from Santa Barbara. Are you saying that restaurants no longer allow folks to use their restrooms than they used to if you look homeless?
Yeah.
And why am I not surprised? But I suppose this is a deteriorating sign.
Well, that's just the way it started, you know, after the shelter opened up on the east side there. The businesses label you as homeless, and they won't let you use a restroom, even if you are buying something. You know, you're associated with the shelter there.
You're not allowed. allowed to discriminate against people as part of a class, so I don't know. So you should have their butts kicked if they're pulling some shit.
Well, you know, I don't know what you can really do about it except
lawsuits, refuse to leave, bring your friends with you, pick at the store, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I guess. People don't seem to want to get together too much on something like that.
Same problem here.
Nobody really wants to get organized or get together.
Well, that's what we're here for, to get organized, man. Coral is going to lead this whole thing, right, Coral?
I will lead whatever people say to do.
She'll lead where others follow. No, follow where others lead. She'll lead. Well, we'll get back to this. You got some optimistic ideas here, Mr. Clifford Crooks of SACTO?
You ain't wolfing, I do. Okay, here's in a nutshell. We organize all the cities that we can now. We bring them all in and plan a camp out on the Capitol. We go in there and we do it without the police knowing, and I know I have a way of doing that, fooling the police. We let the news media know that we're coming, we let the governor know we're coming and the reasons, and then when we do it, it'll be done and we'll be on their property, okay, on the Capitol. And the first thing we do is we inform the news media. And we tell the news media that we're asking the governor to protect us from all these hate crimes from all the cities in California. And now politically, if he was to arrest us or run us off, it would kill him politically. So he doesn't dare put us in jail. Now there's a lot more to the plan than that. I'm going to explain everything.
That's step one.
Yeah, this is step one.
Take one.
And it's not in concrete. You know, it's something I've been working on actually for about since I hit the streets 8 years ago.
Interesting, because you know we had the large Sacramento rally in 1993 where there was a big camp out in Sacramento, and you know they slept for 3 days and then the cops drove everybody away. We did an occupation of the Capitol building for a while.
Yeah.
Didn't last very long, and then we all marched to the river, but you know it kind of dissipated, so it didn't. I'm not sure what consequences came out of that 93 protest, but you have a different angle, which is interesting.
Yeah, it is a little different, and I think it can work if we can organize it, and I think we can organize it if we have a plan. You know, we talk this whole weekend is a good chance to share ideas and refine things.
Harry's here.
Yeah, and but I want to get this started. I'd like to see it happen within 2 months. I'd like to, and it can be done if we have a plan and then we jump in it and do it.
Possibility.
Yeah, it can be done.
Cool.
But we gotta have a direction to go. We have to know what we're doing, and then here at this group here, what I'm gonna do is reveal the rest of the story. Okay? And only this group is gonna know the rest of the story. Each city we go to where we get volunteers will have a leader, one leader in that city, which will know the rest of the story. And they'll be know what's going on, but not the whole thing until the very end. Okay?
So that way, play this on the radio. Or?
We got to advertise. We got to let everybody know. We're going to let the governor know.
This is for Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, okay. That's it so far. Basically, there's a few little things that I want to discuss with everybody, and I don't want to reveal them right now.
No problem. You're a secretive guy.
Well, I know a way to fool the government. Get in there before the government knows that we're. They're going to know that it's planned, but they ain't going
to
know where.
I introduce you to the master of such tactics. Well, you know him already, Terry Messman. A street spirit.
What'd you say now? Please repeat.
This is a guy he headed the Union of the Homeless in Oakland. He used to take over buildings, seize them for the homeless, and then they would, you know, fix them up. And they would take them over in such a way that they couldn't be evicted without massive problems. So.
You know, we got the directions on how to do that, and we tried to get that started, but we let somebody else run it. That he not only didn't teach the people, but he wouldn't even go into the house. So there was nobody there to follow the rules or make the rules happen in the legal way.
So how is Eddie Harris doing?
Eddie Harris is doing good. You know, he's kind of waiting for something else to get into now, I think. That little deal he was on didn't pan out at all.
Bravo!
And I can tell you the reasons why.
Somebody give them that man a drink of water.
Here in the corner of the yard, there's vegetarian and there's not vegetarian. That's carnivores. to you right now because I'm going to...
Who cares what he's doing?
He's a jerk.
Listen, he's the commander in chief.
Santa Cruz, what we're doing here, actually it wouldn't have been illegal, but on the fourth day that we would do it, it would be illegal, because in Santa Cruz, it was technically illegal to serve free food more than three times in any 90-day period. And I and others went to jail for serving free food back in 1989 here. And in so doing, just like Food Not Bombs in San Francisco, we won the right to serve free food, and it was really quite a victory. I mean, it's really nothing in the backyard. We did it in public at the town clock, and what happened was we were publicizing the same thing that we're here, I think, to work on tomorrow, which is the right of people to sleep legally at night, the right of people not to be beaten up, the right of people not to be discriminated against because of their status as a homeless person. And the right of, and essentially the right of the person to have a choice and a chance and a way to get out of homelessness by being able to survive with some dignity and respect while they are homeless. So what happened was we had a parade called the Bag Ladies Revolt Parade, where we had people in houses and people who were homeless doing a shopping cart parade behind the mayor. And her vehicle broke down. And she was so embarrassed that when we went to the town clock after that to begin a vigil against violence against the homeless and against the sleeping ban, actually it was the whole camping ordinance we were against, she sent in the police using the pretext that we were serving food.
And the food wars continued for about 9 months after that. We would bring in food, police would arrest us for it. We would sneak in food, the police would grab dummy and decoy barrels and buckets of food that wasn't really food, and then we'd send them the real food from another area and come rushing in with it. So we were successful in doing this, and of course the whole thing made the whole city council look ridiculous. And it was because of direct action by folks like yourselves that we were able to eventually decriminalize the serving of free food. And it was because of the actions of the man who provided the kitchen tonight, Joe Schultz, who was a chef for a cafe that's gone out of business in Santa Cruz called India Joe's Restaurant, an upscale Indian restaurant, actually. He came out and served homeless people food, and he was arrested. Even though he had a license, he was arrested. And he's supplied the food for almost every homeless protest in Santa Cruz. And I've been asked, I think there's going to be a decoration, a memorial, a commendation made to Joseph. He's not here. He had to be somewhere else. He works as a sort of a traveling chef. He caters. But he's always catered to homeless people, and he doesn't charge for it. And he's not a wealthy guy. So he's really someone who, I hope if we do protest in Santa Cruz this summer, I think he'll be with us. And he deserves a round of applause. So the struggle to decriminalize serving free food was successful, largely successful, in most of the cities that I know about. Now, I haven't checked with great care with Portland and Seattle, but is that the case? Are people arrested for serving food in Portland and Seattle? I didn't think so. In San Francisco, what you might consider one of the most liberal-sounding cities, we have had the most arrests for serving free food. There were over 1,000 arrests between 1988 and 1996. And I was arrested in 1993, and I had was at the time working in Santa Barbara as a homeless activist, as well as in Santa Cruz. And what the police would do is they would arrest you, they would jail you, they would drag you to court 3 or 4 times, then they would drop the charges. They had never taken a case to trial. So I said to myself, this is ridiculous, take me to trial, expecting they would drop the charges. They did not. They took me to trial before a prejudiced judge who they actually dragged in from Alpine County, I think it was, some tiny county in northeastern California. And I was assigned a defense attorney, a public defender, who hadn't tried a jury trial in 5 or 7 years, had never tried a political case, and had just lost. He'd previously been a prosecutor. And then we appealed the case for 2 years, and we were turned down by the California Supreme Court, even though my chief witness, Keith McHenry of Food Not Bombs, who has been invited to this thing, but has been beaten so many times by the police he doesn't come back to California anymore, he was arrested on the first day of my trial, and he was released on the last day with apologies. He was never able to testify. And the police officer who arrested me for serving rice and bagels in the Civic Center Plaza to homeless people across from the mayor's office, along with hundreds of other people who did it, had the day before been distributing a free food list that said, come to Food Not Bombs meals. So it seemed that this is a defense in court which you might not have heard of. It's called equitable estoppel. Cops cannot go out and say, come and do this, and then arrest you for it 5 minutes later. That's considered to be bad form and a legal defense against these crimes. And this is really perhaps something we'll talk about in the workshops tomorrow. What kind of defenses do we have? Not about eating, because we won that battle, or serving free food, but of course, sleeping, because this is the right to sleep summit that we're at, according to this button. So, this is about food fights, this little chatter here that I'm giving you. And it's about how we want the right to serve free food. And it's an important right, because it's what helps, for example, public encampments survive. The Civic Center one of the things that the reasons they went after Phu Nha bombs so strongly in 1989 and 1990 is because homeless people set up an encampment, hundreds of people strong, across from City Hall. They had no place to go and they had no real choice, so naturally, as you know, they banded together for security and for safety and for some kind of dignity. And the authorities went after Phu Nha bombs because they were feeding this encampment 24 hours a day. And the kinds of defenses Phu Nha bombs used, it wasn't really, they didn't win in court, they lost in court. There's actually an injunction against Phu Nha bombs in San Francisco that is a permanent injunction that is enforced today. But no Phu Nha bombs member pays any attention to it, myself included. I'll always serve free food up there, I don't care. Take me to jail again, that's fine. And the authorities know it, and they don't want to be embarrassed by it. And they know that if they start arresting people, more people will join that struggle. That is really, to me, kind of the thing I keep telling myself, why direct action works. But of course, in a way, it also hasn't worked, because we're here in a situation where it's criminal in all of our cities, except Portland, to sleep at night, and I imagine in Portland they use other laws to fuck with folks.
Oh yeah.
And we're going to be hearing about that too. You know, we got everybody together here. I'm going to introduce Bernard, who's doing the registration packets. We're going to be talking about that. But I wonder if we have an opportunity to maybe give some of the folks from a different locality the chance to speak now, because now that we're here together. Are people too cold? Or how are people feeling? Are they comfortable? Or?
Yeah.
Please. Get some food while it's hot. And I don't see why we couldn't have dinner via open mic, too.
Yeah, I think we should. It would be great to start hearing reports from different areas. I mean, I know what I'm looking for at this summit. And everybody has, no doubt, their own vision of what could happen. We all have our own resources and needs, and I'd like to hear, I think we all want to hear what each of us needs from the rest of us and what we have to offer. But I guess what I'm looking for out of this is to see some kind of organization come out which will unite the encampments that are here, provide the possibility for new encampments in different cities joining them, and show people sharing defenses as to how to deal with both the problems of police and city bureaucratic harassment and the day-to-day living problems that come up in terms of how to deal with your neighbors, how to get the best kind of outreach in the community so you can actually sustain an encampment against hostile media or against a hostile set of politicians. That's one objective. The other objective that's really dear to my heart is, of course, in the name of the summit, the Right to Sleep Summit. I want to see, I'm looking to see if in Santa Cruz we have enough activists to start a critical mass against the sleeping ban, our local sleeping ban, happen. And I don't know if that's going to happen or not, because you folks aren't expected to, you know, camp here permanently for the rest of the summer and help us end the sleeping ban. In fact, I'd like to see that start somewhere. Now, I think Santa Cruz, because we're holding our summit here, but I heard a very reasonable proposal about Sacramento. And I think that one of the things I'd like to see with this, we come to the end of this conference, is to come up with a plan of action whereby we're going to do a series of things, and I hope to see that these are direct action things, involve protest and legal action and illegal action if necessary, peaceful illegal action, that will start a nationwide movement to end sleeping bans across the country, and certainly among the cities that we are a part of. So,
did you talk about Sandy Leuenger?
I didn't. Let me get back to that.
How bureaucrats put things together based on people who stick their neck out.
Linda wanted me to talk about one of our heroes here in Santa Cruz, a woman named Sandra Leuenger. And I have a t-shirt which has a quote from Sandra Leuenger. It's what she said in court. She was arrested for serving free food. She had a jury trial, and she was convicted. And the judge said to her, she's an antique dealer. She's a woman of about 55 years old, very mild, short, diminutive woman, thin. And she was told by the judge, look, I'll put you on probation. You just can't serve free food. And she said, the famous words in her t-shirt, Your Honor,
I can't do that. I think I'm beyond rehabilitation. And that's what she said in her t-shirt. And she was sentenced to jail, and she served in jail for, I think, about 21 days. And she got international publicity as far away as India, and within 2 months, they dropped all prosecutions against people for serving free food. The same thing, incidentally, happened to me when I went to jail 7 years later in San Francisco. Again, the only person who was ever actually convicted of this. Many, many people were jailed, harassed, jailed again, harassed, but none of them were convicted of this. But that ended because people served breakfast on the steps of the jail when I was held in jail. Every day, they served breakfast, they food map bombs on the steps of the jail. So the whitewashed Willie Brown of San Francisco, that was busy going after people for sleeping, decided, better not go after people for eating. That's not such a hot idea, or for serving free food. Linda, was something else you want me to talk about in terms of?
Can we have Bernard's
housekeeping?
That's a good idea,
before,
too.
Before opening the mic, let Bernard take care of the house.
Right, there's a couple, there's some things that, in case you just arrived.
And that's the intro to the Right to Sleep Summit that happened a week ago Friday. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. Phone lines are still open, 427-3772. We hope to have a call back in an hour from the man who was beaten by the account of his friend at the Metro, and then essentially barred from the Metro, with apparently his assailants perhaps protected by the Metro Guard or ignored by the Metro Guard. We've gotten at least one person's account of what another person said happened. Perhaps we can get more specifics. Plus, you've heard an account today of a couple that I interviewed last night who said that they were attacked. The man was attacked several days ago back at the Catalyst. And it's these incidents keep on coming, and it's not good. It reminds me of 1999, when there were multiple instances of beatings, and I think there were in 2000 there were 43 deaths, something like that, homeless deaths. There was actually a conviction of a man for hate crime beating. It wasn't hate crime enhanced, but it was. For those of us who watched a hate crime attack on homeless people, what the hell was his name? He was a Nazi skinhead. Doesn't come back to me right now. There's a pattern of discrimination against homeless people that is really, it's evident officially, it's evident unofficially. It bears a lot of reminiscence to, I mean, resemblance to other oppressed groups, whether they're black, brown, gay, similar kind of dynamic. They're very visible. They're looked upon with contempt. The blacklist happens easily. Legal protections and police protections are dropped. It's pretty nasty stuff. I'd also inform people we were going to be talking about Title 14 in Portland, and I haven't really heard anything from anyone, Portland or anywhere else, although folks in Portland may be listening in. I'm having a little trouble digging up all my Title 14 stuff, and I'll probably be better prepared for that either next Sunday or next Thursday, when we may be having a really impressive show where there'll be someone interviewing from Portland, a live Portland audience from Dignity Village and other homeless activists there, and possibly some homeless activists here, including Camp Paradise folks, Tom Shaver, and maybe someone from Homes on Wheels here. I'm looking to get somebody into the studio for that. It's still ambitious and in the planning stages. We may do it taped because it's easier to do that way. But that may be coming up next Thursday between 6 and 8 in the evening here on Free Radio Santa Cruz's Bathrop Spears Broadsides. A couple of quick kind of business things before we go any further. Scour my literature here. What have I got? I promised folks I would read the lawsuit. The the latest response to the lawsuit, I should say. Of course, that involves making sure I have the right document, which apparently I do, actually. That's encouraging. This is a lawsuit, you may remember, that had to do with city council. And city council is, well, it's made a pattern and practice of trying to cut short some people in their public presentations, what they say and do there. And what I think I'm going to do is, first of all, talk about the kinds of incidents that have happened, because they really go straight to the heart of the matter. And we've talked about this a little bit before. You can actually read two good articles in the Comic News on this, actually the two old Comic Newses. The current Comic News does not have an article by me, although I did send one in and they did want to print it. But the problem they came up with was that they needed it to be shortened, and I was in the middle of the Right to Sleep Summit, so I couldn't do the editing that was needed to get it shortened in time. I'm actually going to try to read that article on the air. It's not about the subject matter of the first two articles in the Comic News, which were about the lawsuit, which I'm talking about now, the federal lawsuit against City Council's repressive treatment of critics. It was about the Right to Sleep Summit, and you've actually heard, and you're going to be hearing more about the Right to Sleep Summit, so I'm sure that a lot of information on that subject is going to come up. But the issue about the lawsuit is important to me because I'm in the final stages of getting together declarations, and this is what I'm asking people to do. To anyone who's concerned with free speech violations at the city council meetings where unpopular speakers are, one, cut off with less time than other speakers, two, interrupted as they spoke, maybe they were threatened with removal from a meeting, or they were taken into custody at the meetings or during a recess between meetings, or they were barred from subsequent council meetings for unpopular speech. Or to anyone who has seen or heard in person or on television, one, input by the public being cut back, two, public comment periods on agenda items being skipped over, three, the 7 p.m. oral communications interrupted by council members with time not returned to the speakers for the period of the interruption. Four, favored bureaucrats and constituents given extra time to speak, and or speakers being told they couldn't use certain words at their public comment periods. So